Joining me now on our June edition of Our Town is Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller is an appraiser here in town. He's been working. How long have you been doing appraisals?
I've been an appraiser for about 36 years now.
Wow.
A long time.
What kind of changes have you seen in your 36 years?
Well, when I started in the mid-1980s, you didn't even need a license to be an appraiser. So...
Did you have to have any kind of like construction background or knowledge?
No, you didn't need any knowledge whatsoever. I mean,
just sort of did a lot of research.
As long as the lending institution would accept your appraisal, you were good to go. So when I first started, I worked for other appraisers, you know, that had established relationships with lenders. But I was pretty much able to go out and do my own appraisals within, you know, a few months anyway.
Is it pretty much, you know, you get an eye for something and you get a feel for what the environment is? I mean, obviously it's house related, but it's also community related too.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to have a knowledge of the neighborhood that you're working in. So the longer you've worked in a particular area, the more knowledge you're going to have.
Back in the 80s, was it more legwork and now it's more computer work?
Absolutely. When we started in the 80s, we had books that we looked through. You know, so you'd carry them out with you and, you know, you go in and inspect a property and then you come out and look at your book to see, you know, see what houses had sold and what ones were listed. It's a lot easier now because now that it's on the internet and, you know, you can see the inside of comps now. So that aspect of it's a lot easier. In the old days, you pretty much were dependent on what the realtor told you the inside of a house looked like.
Over the years, I mean, I've noticed and I know several people in town that are landlords, and it seems like a lot of properties have been bought up and there's probably a good list. I know somebody who's got 20 some properties. I know another person who's got 7 or 8, another person who's got 10 or 12. How does that affect the cost of housing? Does it at all? I mean, as far as, you know, single family residents and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I mean, but it affects the rental market more than anything. But absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, rental housing, it's less likely to be as updated, you know, and as so I think that it definitely affects the market, and the number of rentals you have in a neighborhood affects the market. You know, areas that are owner occupied tend to be higher price.
Have you seen communities like a rehab and upgrade? I mean, like, you know, streets and things like that. I mean, I know, I recently remodeled my house on Laurel, and I wanted to make it as up to date as possible because I wanted people to be proud of it when they went in there to live there.
Right.
Does that happen a lot? Is like when one person does it, do you start seeing others do it?
Absolutely. I think that neighbors are always paying attention to what's going on in the neighborhood. And I think when people, you know, make some improvements to their house, it encourages neighbors to also make improvements.
One of the things I think about this market now, we've probably had a 10% increase over the last year, something like that. You could probably correct me or give me a better idea of that. But it's good for the investors, but not so good for the first-time home buyers and homeowners that want to come into the community. What's been the struggle in the last 18 months, even before the pandemic, for people wanting to buy new homes?
Well, it's very competitive. I mean, it's very difficult to find anything for a first-time home buyer. And a lot of buyers are coming in all cash with so it's difficult to compete. And the prices have gone up significantly in the last year. I mean, I'd say 10 to 12% for sure.
Well, because we have such a low inventory right now, and they're talking about building more and building more. But because so many people seem like want to come here, so many people are waiting to find a home here, no matter what they build, it seems like it's not going to really affect the price in a negative way because we have so much to make up for. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a shortage of inventory. I mean, prices have been going up for some time, but it seems to be going up at an accelerated pace this year because of the lack of inventory. I mean, there's just not very many listings out there now. And I would say that the price of, you know, on the, even on the low end is now, you know, significantly higher than it was a year ago. So it's difficult.
I was thinking maybe a year or so ago, maybe 18 months, maybe 2 years, it was around 250 to 275, somewhere right in there.
Right.
For entry level home. Mm-hmm. And that's gone up. What's the average right about now?
Well, it's over 300.
Wow.
I mean, I think a year ago or a year and a half ago, you could still find a home around, 200,000 even. You know, that maybe wasn't updated, maybe it needed a little bit of work, but you could still find a home certainly in the low 200s. I mean, now I think the lowest listing, you know, of a single family home is probably over 250. And the average, you know, the median home price is over 300.
Are there danger signs of a bubble or, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't see how there could be with so much need in the area, but is this expanse or this higher value going to continue for a while, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think about that all the time. I think there probably will be a correction at some point. There always is. You know, the prices of homes are going up faster than income. So I think in Florence, you know, because of the high number of retirees here, that it probably will not be as affected as areas like Eugene and Springfield, for example, where, you know, people here don't need to move. They don't need to sell their house. So as long as you're staying in your house, it doesn't matter really if it goes down and then back up, because historically it's going to keep going up. But I do think at some point there will be a correction.
And again, like you said, it probably won't be that major because if people aren't having to sell.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, and most of the corrections are, you know, 6-9 months, you know. So if you don't need to sell your house at that point, you can just sit on it. I don't think in Florence it's going to be as much of a problem as it is in other areas.
Now, it still seems like you go through some neighborhoods and there's a lot of houses that really could use some TLC and some upgrading on there. When a house like that comes on the market, are they able to get a higher price even though they have some issues with it? Or do they have to pretty much say, you know, I got to sell it?
I mean, I think buyers, you know, want to move into a home that doesn't have a lot of deferred maintenance, and they will go quicker. But everything's selling now. I mean, even stuff on the lower end. So you see a lot more investors, you know, buying houses, fixing them up, and then reselling them now. So I think that everything is selling now.
Is that good for the market, or is that just creating higher prices itself? Because, I mean, obviously, if you have a house that the intrinsic value, if you were to look at it in a normal market, might be $120,000. But fixed up, it may be $300,000. But yet the person buying it gets, hopefully, an upgraded, better home. Does that help when that happens?
Or? I think it's good for the market. I mean, it's difficult for people to get into the market. But if you own a home, I think that's good. I mean, if somebody comes into your neighborhood and buys a home that perhaps reflects some deferred maintenance and fixes it up, that's good for everybody in the neighborhood. It lifts the whole neighborhood up.
What are some of the things that you look for in an appraisal that add value? One of the things I remember a realtor told me a long time ago, he said, well, you know, if you own a two-bath house, you better have bathtubs in your bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's still, like, if you walk into a house and the two major bathrooms have showers in them and no tubs, is that take away, add to, does that make a difference?
Well, it depends on what neighborhood you're in. I think in Florence, probably it's not as big of an issue, you know.
Because you have older folks that might want to climb in and out of it.
Right, right. That might not care if you had a tub, or might not even want a tub. But I would say that when you're looking at homes, that the biggest things that create value in a home are probably kitchens and baths. Probably. That's
why is, I guess it's because that's where most of the money sits, isn't it? Well, I mean,
right,
you think
right,
about it.
Right. I think that, you know, people spend a lot of time in their kitchens and baths.
Yeah.
So I think that's the probably the areas that drive value the most. You know, number of bedrooms, it's, once again, not quite as important in Florence as it would be in Eugene or Springfield because, you know, you don't have as many families, large families. So you see more three-bedroom homes here than you would, you know, and not a lot of four- or five-bedroom homes. So, but definitely the kitchen and the baths are important. And location, location's location, all important, yeah. too.
So I won't hold you to this, but if you had a crystal ball, what do you see happening in the next 18 months to 2 years as far as prices go and inventory?
Wow. I think that things will stay fairly strong at least into next year, but it's very difficult to predict be outside of that. But there's just so much demand right now. There's so many people that are looking for homes right now and just very little inventory. I think when I looked this morning, there's less than 20 listings in
wow.
Florence of all types of housing.
Gee, that's not much at all.
That's not much. And, I mean, that's the whole range of housing. So
that's from the low end to the high
end. The low end to the high end.
Well, you say
right.
low end, but, you know.
Right. So if you're looking for something in a particular yeah. price range, you probably only have a couple choices.
Yeah.
So it's... it's really competitive right now. I think it's going to stay competitive into next year for sure.
All right. Andrew Miller, thank you so much for stopping by today. It's good information. Always good to find out what's going on in the market. I know a lot of people keep moving here, even though there's nothing really to buy.
I know. It's a very popular place to yeah. live.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we speak with Bettina Hannigan about the new banner program for the Hanging Banners in town and find out why on the July 4th cancellation.